I'm Phil C.
And I'm Lynn.
And together,
we're Roaming Oz.
Real interviews.
With real people.
On location.
With a great mix of Aussie music.
As requested by the people we interview.
Follow us on Facebook.
Or check us out, roamingoz.com.au.
So, Phil, what's on the show this week?
Well, this week, Lenny, we are in Deniliquin. The whole program's about Deniliquin, okay?
Great.
So, first of all, I'm going to be talking with Steve from the Car Hotel Caravan Park in Deniliquin.
Yes, and next?
Straight after that, I'll be catching up with Lindsay from the Deniliquin Historical Society.
Great, and next?
Next, the Deniliquin Ute Muster. The Denny Ute Muster. I'll be chatting with Vicky Lowry all about that one.
Wonderful.
And last but not least, do you remember when we spoke last week about this incredible car museum in Deniliquin?
Yes, if you're not into cars, it is a must-see.
Oh, if you're not into cars.
Well, if you're into cars, but even if you're not into cars, it's a must-see.
Absolutely agree. Now, this place is called The Depot and it's owned by the Pertel family. And I'll be chatting there with Neville Patel.
Oh, great. And I'll also be doing a talk on the Long Paddock touring route.
Okay, as well as a great selection of Aussie music as requested by the people we interviewed.
Wonderful.
Okay, Lynn, so what do you reckon?
On with the show!
It's Phil C in Deniliquin, or Denny to the locals. Going to be leaving here sometime today. But before we do, I want to talk to Steve. And Steve owns the Car Hotel Caravan Park?
Denny Caratel and Caravan Park, yeah.
Denny Caravan, Denny Hotel.
Denny Caratel and Caravan Park.
There we go, listeners, I finally got it right, okay. Now, Steve's going to tell us a few things about the park. Before we do that, I just wanted to let all my listeners know that I found about this one, found out about this one on Wikicamps, and it was all positive reviews, Steve.
Yeah, well, a lot of the people sort of return customers type thing, and you know, they enjoy the tranquility and the closeness, I suppose, to town, the RSL, that type of thing, golf course over the back, and you just look after the customers, and they love the place, so it's very positive.
Well, I've got to tell you, I love the place, and as I said, I found out about it through Wikicamps, but I guess what impressed me was your rates. Now, you're very, very affordable. Tell us about your rates, first of all, on your powered sites. And one of the big benefits of some of your powered sites.
Yeah, well, their budget rates for the retirees, pensioners, grey nomads. We get a lot of essential workers through, a lot of old clients that have been coming back for years and years. So it's a smallish business and 16 cabins, 6 powered sites with your own en-suites.
Which is brilliant.
It's, that's right, very well priced, and the people just keep coming back, and
So just to let the listeners know, Steve, $25 for a powered site with its own ensuite.
And I've been told quite a few times by my customers I've got to put the price up, but they just keep coming back. And because the COVID's hit over the last 12 months or so, it's been so hard for everyone.
Yes.
So I've just decided just to keep it as is, look after the people that are coming through.
Yep.
And it's been pretty good. Everyone likes a bit of a chat and talk about things that are happening and everything, so that's where I'm sort of sitting. So.
Well, I think you helped me immensely when I checked in, because I've got a big van, a lot of the listeners may not know, and the site was a little bit tight, but you came out, you said, follow me, which I did, and then left hand down, right hand down, we had it in 2 minutes, which is brilliant service. Yeah. A lot of people just point you in a direction, hand you a map, and then you struggle with it, you know?
Yeah. No, so, I try to help out as much as I can and stop the arguments.
Yep. Well, mate, and save a lot of marriages. Now, tell us about your cabins, because how many cabins have you got here?
We've got 16 cabins fully self-contained with their own ensuite.
Yep.
And, at the moment, 55 a single, 65 a double. And as I said, it's affordable budget prices for a lot of the essential workers have been coming through over the last 12, 18 months.
Yep.
And prior to that. But again, I've looked after all the essential workers because, you know, they've been here sort of doing a lot of work around Denny, because they've got Denny's got a grant and from the government and everything. And there's a lot of road works and stuff. And, yeah, they love it. There's a fair bit of cooking gear and, Yeah, just sort of, across the road from the RSL, which is handy. And
So. Now, what about if you don't want to cook? Now, a lot of blokes, a lot of workers, a lot of people on holidays, they don't really want to cook. I mean, you've got the RSL, is that right, just across the street?
Yeah, the RSL.
Yeah, and what else have you got in town?
Well, there's the Exchange a bit further down, and the Globe Hotel have got some beautiful meals and a lot of very positive sort of feedback with the Globe. So, in walking distance of town, you've got IGA, you've got Coles.
Right,
So it's sort of everyone's, it's fairly central. Yep. That's a positive side of it too.
Well, I've been here a couple of days now, and I had a drive around on my first day arriving, and it's actually quite a big town. Yeah. Not only the Coles, I mean, you've got the Coles, which is important for your main things, but you've got a JCar in town, you've got a McDonald's, you've got a Reject Shop, there's a lot of shops in there.
Yeah, it's been very tough over the last 12, 18 months, and some shops have sort of closed down for a while.
Right.
But I think with the grant, it's helped out a lot of the businesses. The council have been fantastic here.
Yep.
With support also, the New South Wales government have been great. They've been just monitoring and helping the small businesses, as far as I know, they have with me.
Yes.
And so, it's been a tough time, but... you know, everything's starting to come back now, and it's really starting to take off, and the new businesses is coming through, as you said, and there's plenty to do in Denny.
Absolutely. So just a couple of things. What do you recommend for travellers to do in Denny? You got anything off the top of your head?
Well, you can crack a beer.
Yes.
And, just relax in the sunshine.
Yep.
You've got the golf course here just over the back.
Right.
Great course in Denny. Mm-hmm. And, you know, your RSL, you've got the depot where the cars are.
Yes.
Through the Easter time, we're having a Falcon sort of function with all the XYs and all those older cars. So we've got about, virtually two-thirds of the park booked out. So that's a car show.
Yep.
There's just so many things that come and go.
Yes.
And the best way to find out about all the different things is Jane. She's been helping me from the information centre.
Yes.
Give them a call. They've got all the paperwork. They've got all the tracks.
Fantastic.
Where you can go walking, and the river's just out the back there, the Edwards River. Yep. Absolutely beautiful.
Yep.
The cod are biting at the moment.
I was going to say, you want to throw a bit of cheese in there. Apparently that's the local bait, cheese and chicken.
Something.
Sounds like something you want to eat. But if you want to have a bit of fun, I'll have a go at a cod, and they're biting.
Yeah. Now, they've actually just done up Stephen's Weir.
Right.
And the boys were here on and off for about 12 months, essential workers and the sandblasters and scaffolders and all that sort of stuff. So that's a spectacle. I haven't actually been out there since they've done it, but that's a spectacle in itself, and there's a lot of fishing out there too.
Fantastic. Mate, thank you so much for your time.
That's okay.
Yeah, Steve, now tell us again, where are you from, Steve?
I am from Deniliquin, Caratal and Caravan Park.
There you go, listeners. Now, before we finish this one, I've got to play your song, and it's got to be Aussie. Who's your favourite Aussie?
Keith Urban.
Right.
And never work on Sunday.
You never work on Sundays? Kick back in Denny with a couple of beers on Sunday?
Yeah, way to go.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for your time, Steve. All stick right. around, listeners. We'll be straight back with more Roman Oz after I never work on Sundays.
Cheers.
I never work on a Sunday. I've got a life of my own. And this here now is the one day I spend with my family at home. Saturday and Friday.
Somebody said, hey, the boss wants to see you in his office right away. He told me just how far behind the work was getting, and on the weekend could I stay? I started laughing and said, you must be kidding, I've just got one thing to say. You know what I said? I never work on a Sunday, I've got a life of my own, and this here now is one day I spend with my family. And I never work on a Sunday, I've got a life of my own, and this here now is one day I spend with my family at home. I'm quite entitled to one day to spend with my family at home.
Hello, listeners, and welcome back. It's Phil C here. We're with still Roman Oz, and I am here with Lindsay Renwick, and he is the president of the Deniliquin Historic Society. How are you today, Lindsay?
I'm really feeling good. We've had a great weekend, and the weather here in Deniliquin is absolutely perfect.
Fantastic. Now, what can you tell us about this Historic Society? We're sitting in here now, surrounded by history of the whole town, really, isn't it?
Yeah, the Historic Society started about 63 years ago here in Deniliquin with a group of people. Just purely and simply, they formed this to have local history preserved, which they've done over the years. Fortunately for me, I decided that I got interested in being a local born, bred Deniliquin person.
Mm-hmm.
Grandparents in Denny.
Yes.
My parents raised in the joint. Lovely town, lovely yep. town with great weather.
Fantastic.
As you've noticed.
Yes.
Lovely lady. Denny's prides itself on having good weather nearly all year round.
Yes.
I think we have about 6 frosts a year.
Okay.
And about 10 stinking hot days a year. So yeah. The rest of it's pretty good.
Yeah.
As you're seeing today, the way you dress, your apparel suits the weather.
But shorts and T-shirts.
Back to the Historic Society. This building you're in now is over 150 year old. It's an old police inspector's residence where the inspector of police lived, and our Historic Society was lucky enough to get it about 35 years ago. It was pretty in a disarray and disrepair. The building was nearly falling down, and our committee got hold of it, and with a bit of grant money from the Heritage New South Wales, pieced it back together.
Mm-hmm.
and that's what you can see now. We've got the place renovated in the various rooms to show different themes. We pride ourselves on showing the history of the wool industry and the stuff that was here in the old days. Because I haven't mentioned it, but Deniliquin was found in 1840.
Right.
The old surveyors were trying to find the Murray River,
mm-hmm.
and they come across the Edwards River, which is an Anna branch from the Edwards River, back, starts at a place called Picnic Point and goes back into the Murray way down near Swan Hill Way.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful passage of water. Water's all the way, nearly full all the time. It's used for another outlet to get water to Adelaide, so therefore when there's irrigation time required down in the South Australia, they use the Edwards River to push a bit of water through. So it was always great fishing.
Yes.
Years and years of RSL fishing clubs and local fishing clubs have contributed a lot of money into restocking the river, and it's a beautiful breeding environment for the Murray cod.
For the mighty Murray cod, yes.
So any of your mates travelling around, when they come to Denny, can throw a line in and catch a Murray cod.
Well, that's right. We were actually staying a couple of nights ago on the Murray around the Yarrawonga area, and there was a camp group there, and the chap was out every day in his kayak, and every day he was catching them all for sport, because there is a size limit to the Murray.
Yep.
They've got to be between 55 and 75, he
Correct.
Told me.
Yeah.
Most of the ones he was getting are 40 to 50, but great fishing. And you also said great for boating, because you mentioned there's no real current on the river and it's pretty much the same height all the time, so a lot of people bring their boats here.
A lot of, as you said, fishing, fishing's a great sport and it's a great environment here. And we don't have a lot of opposition with power boating because we've got designated areas along the river here in Deniliquin,
right,
which gives the fishermen a bit of peace and quiet.
Excellent.
And that's lovely.
Yep.
Along the Murray, it's nearly full go.
Yeah.
But in Denny, along the Edwards, we do have designated areas for power boating.
Okay.
Which gives a lot of free area for the fishermen.
Fishermen.
And what you mentioned was good because I know the fishermen of today.
Yes.
Even if they catch a legal fish, they're content to take a photo of it.
That's it.
And release it again.
It is.
So how good's that?
It is. It's brilliant because, some of the places were getting depleted, whereas the Murray Cod, as you said, you could probably just go down the back of here, as you said, throw a piece of cheese in there, pull out a nice fish for a bit of fun and give it a kiss like Rex Hunt and let it go. Now, I wanted to ask you one other thing. Apart from the history of Deniliquin, and there's a lot of hotels in the place and a lot of great history, you also have once a year this ute muster, which is probably one of the biggest attractions for Deniliquin, isn't it? Now, I understand you go way back to the very, very first one.
Yeah, I was lucky enough. I was on the Denny Council at the time. I was a councillor, and we actually lost our jazz festival that was an annual event over Easter. And we actually, I think it was myself or somebody suggested that we try to fill the gap, the void that was created with the loss of the jazz festival. So we had a public meeting 21 years ago, close to 22 years now. We had a public meeting and the 35 people attended that meeting. And from that, ideas evolved and the ute muster was the thing that cropped up, the cream that came to the top.
Right.
So in 21 years ago, well, sorry, 1999, we held our first ute muster. We hoped we'd get 200 or 300 utes there. We got 1,978 utes, which caused a bit of a riot, as you can appreciate.
Local police wouldn't have been happy.
They weren't happy at all, mate. No, actually. I got pulled in on the Monday, and the inspector of police at the time, he was very upset because he's put them under the pump, which I could understand.
Of course.
There's that many young kids having a great time roaring around town. They didn't do any damage, basically. We had the first concert was in the Memorial Park on the local footy ground, and Kernighan performed there, did a wonderful job, and lots of people attended there. But unfortunately, the kids going home back to town and various campsites, they did a bit of damage. And of course, I got pulled over the coals because I was on council at the time, and why did I do this and why did I do that? And I said, well, like you guys, we're all shocked and think how successful it was. And the borough inspector of police said to me that day, well, you'll never have another one of those again.
Yes.
But 22 years later, she's still going and
absolutely
bigger and better and stronger.
Bigger and better and stronger. And it didn't happen last year, of course, because of COVID, but you've got a big bill. You've got some great acts coming this year. You've got the Angels and you've got Johnny Williamson, for example. He's on the bill as well. Troy Cassadaly. How are you going for the camping? Is still some spots available?
Well, you know more about it than me. You're actually right up with that country and western stuff, mate.
I've got an idea it's going to be a cracker season for you this year. Just when is it on again? It's the October weekend, isn't it?
Long weekend in October. It always has been that weekend. But last weekend is they had the official opening of their new admin building out there, which is another big win for Deniliquin and the Ute Muster.
Yes.
All the work, the general manager and all their staff will be out on site 52 weeks of the year, which is open to the general public too. All the people, the grey nomads and people that are travelling through Denny, that's a thing to definitely pull up and have a coffee and have a look at that as they're travelling into Denny. So, it's a tourist mecca in itself, the Ute Muster site. It's worth a look at.
Definitely.
Along with a few other things we've got in Denny, you probably haven't had the chance, or you may have had the chance. We've got a new motor vehicle museum opening up called the Depot. It is first class.
Okay.
It's great to see it. And while you're in Denny, you can have a look around the rice industry, the rice mill that's out there. We've also, Deniliquin was lucky in the war era, they had a training school here, 7 FTS, which was 7 Flying Training School, where they taught young kids to fly Wirraways.
Mm-hmm.
Wirraways, they, they rushed in a hurry because the they unfortunately this training school started late and the war had already started, and they were rushing to train up kids. And one of the saddest things about the training school out here in Dunedin, we lost 50 kids, or 50 people lost their lives, either instructors or students or whatever. But that was a sad thing, to lose that many lives in such a short time was a bit sad. But I think it was brilliant, because it was a rush to train up kids to get them into the war. And, of course, by the time the war ended, this was our training school had ramped up into a pretty major one in Australia. But it's since closed down. But we've got a little museum out there for any visitors that are coming through Denny. Make that a little must to see as well.
Okay. All right, Lindsay, well, thanks for your time. It's been a pleasure talking to you. And listeners, Deniliquin's definitely a place to come and see, not just for the Ute Muster, but for the history, as we've already mentioned, the Carr Museum. Lindsay, I've got to play you a song, mate. It's got to be Australian. Now, what can I play for you? Who's your favourite Aussie? Aussie?
I'd love a Lee Kernaghan song. Have you got one there that on your playlist?
Oh, look, guaranteed, my friend. I've got Lee's entire catalogue. Definitely not a problem. How about I give you the Boys from the Bush?
Love, you know, you did mention Jade Hurley.
Jade Hurley, yes. I've got Jade's music as well.
Remember Denny, Jade Hurley? Yes. Jade was a councillor in Denny.
He was.
Good mate of mine. Yes. And Jade Hurley's listening to your program.
Yes.
G'day, Jade.
Okay.
Silver Renick Deniliquin.
Okay. I'll get in touch with Jade, mate, and I'll let him know we've had this chat. Thank you so much, Lindsay. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks, mate.
There you go, listeners. Now, you stick around. We're going to play Lee Kernaghan's The Boys from the Bush. They're back in town, and we'll be back with more Roman Oz straight after that.
Shearing sheep, we've been mustering stock. We've been culling out roots, we've been spraying the crops. We've been droving cattle up an old stock route. Now it's Saturday night, we pile in the ute. We're the boys from the bush and we're back in town. Well, the dog's in the back and the foot goes down. We're live members of the Outback Club. We're the boys from the bush come in from the scrub. We've been out in the heat, we've been loading the trucks, been fixing fences, we've been choking on dust. We curse the rain, we curse the drought. Now it's Saturday night, shout. We're the boys from the bush and we're back in town. We get high when the sun goes down. We're live members of the Outback Club. We're the boys from the bush coming from the scrub. And we're back in town. Well, we raise hell when the sun goes down. We're live members of the Outback Club. We're the boys from the bush coming from the scrub. Yeah, we're the boys from the bush and we're back in town. We get high when the sun goes down. Scrub. We're the boys from the bush coming from the scrub.
Well, listeners, welcome back. I'm Phil C and this is Raymond Oz and we are still in Deniliquin and I'm now with Vicky Lowry, the General Manager of the Denny Ute Muster. How are you there, Vicky?
I'm good today, thank you. And welcome to Deniliquin.
Thank you so much for having us, taking some time to chat with us today. Tell us all about what you do here at the Ute Muster and, of course, your museum.
Museum. So the museum and the building is new. We've been here. This is our third week here. So we're very excited to be able to now display 20, will be 23 this year, but 22 years of Deniliquin Ute Muster to the public.
Fantastic. Now, this is an incredible museum, and it was meant to be open, and also your merch, your shop, you've got so much incredible stuff out there. It was all meant to be ready for next, well, for last year, wasn't it?
Yes,
but of course the COVID prevented stuff.
Yes.
And I was having a look at some of your merchandise, and I thought, wow, this is incredible.
Yeah, we have a great range. We have a great range, and that was our merchandise that we ordered in for last year's muster, which unfortunately didn't go ahead. But it's, you know, it's here. We'll carry it over for this year's muster. Plus, we've added to it, you know, with the museum. People sometimes like to just come and get a little souvenir. So we're adding to that as well. So what you might be able to buy online or at the Deni Ute Muster for the people that come, there'll be something different here in the muster shop.
Now, the muster's been running for about 21 years, correct?
Yes, 21 years and 22 would have been last year, we had a virtual. Started in 1999, where a group of community people in Deniliquin got together to discuss, had they had a meeting, a public meeting, to discuss what could be created to draw people to Deniliquin. They were suffering through a drought at the time. And the long weekend, so it was planned for the New South Wales Labor Day long weekend.
Right.
That's when town people tended to go away and the town was rather quiet. So from that public meeting, they had another meeting. They went away and thought about all the different things that they could do. I think one was hot air ballooning. There were all sorts of ideas, and a Ute Muster came from that. And it was 6 months before when they finally decided that's what they were going to do, and they put together in 6 months. They threw it together in 6 months. They got some major sponsors on board, Holden being one, Bundy was another, and they're still our sponsor now.
Yes.
They got some corporate sponsors behind them. They didn't expect to have just under 3,000 Utes turn up and 5,000 people.
On the very first one?
The very first one. Okay. They were based at what is now the Visitor Information Centre now in town.
Right.
It was smaller then. And you got to think back then there was no email, there were no mobile phones. There were a couple on the committee that worked for the local council, unbeknown to the local council, were doing all the photocopying, and everything was on A4 yellow paper, which was a big thing back then. So that's how they got the word out. They got the word out by someone would drive through and they would give them these A4 copied paper and, phones. On the week leading up, all these people turned up. They said it was the funniest sight. You know, they were printing out tickets. They had money everywhere, because these people were lined up down the street to come.
Yes.
Amazing story.
And I understand you got these new gates out the front, which have been there for about 10 years now.
Yes, they were there. They were an art project funded, a community one, and that was for the 10th anniversary.
Right.
And those gates we claim are the most photographed gates in Deniliquin, and our first week out here at the office, by 10 o'clock there were 13 people had stopped and taken photographs of those gates.
And pretty impressive. So everybody with a ute would want to photograph next to those.
Yeah, or Deni you don't ute have muster. To have a ute. And,
no.
And we say that about the Ute Muster.
Yep.
You don't have to have a ute to come to the Deni Ute Muster. We now have over 70% of our patrons are family.
Families that have probably been coming year after year after year.
Yep.
Some of them would have started as young fellas with utes that are now coming out with wives and children.
That's exactly right. They started in 1999 in what's called the Ute Paddock, where it's utes only, camping, swags, no tents, and now they're over the other side where all the families camp.
And you can do like early bird bookings, and you've got a spot guaranteed. Tell us a little bit about that, because I know when I went to the Big Red Bash a couple of years ago, we were just queued up on the side of the road for hours waiting to get in. So tell us how it works here.
Okay, so if you don't want to, our gates open a day earlier to allow everyone in, and last muster we had 15,000 people come in a day earlier just to set up their camp. They couldn't get into the festival arena till 8 a.m. the next day.
Yep.
But they were here set up the day before, ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't want to line up, or if you want to come with a group of friends and you all want to camp together, we have reserve camping. So you can buy a reserve spot, or you can buy several and all camp together.
Mm-hmm.
And you can camp, turn up. You don't have to be in line to make sure you get the best spot. You could turn up first thing Saturday morning. You know where your camp spot is, and in you go.
And once you buy that reserve ticket, it's all inclusive?
Your ticket, your actual ticket to the muster, which is at general admission, is $269.
Right.
Is all inclusive. That includes general camping, which is, you know, where, whatever spots are left, and includes all the artists, all the entertainment around the ground, unless you want to go on a helicopter ride or a or in the carnival area. And of course, you have to buy your own food and drinks inside the festival arena.
Of course.
If you're camping, you can bring your own food.
Okay.
Yeah, so the ticket includes all of that, but a camping ticket, depending on what size campsite you want reserved, is from $60 to $80.
Okay, for the festival, amount of days you're here.
For the whole amount of days you're here. Yeah.
Now, this museum, whose idea was that?
Look, the museum has been in planned, and, you know, plans have surfaced from many years ago. Different as the board or the committees and the staff have changed, there's been ideas, and it's always been a long-term plan to have, you know, made sense not to be leasing a place but to be out here on site.
Right.
But then in 2018, it's, you know, it's reared its head again, and we've tried to get funding, which we have received funding by both state and local government, which we've been very fortunate, and then the initial plans started, and then now here we are. Mm. We, you know, from 2018 to now, we're operational, and it's an amazing building.
It's an amazing building, and your merchandise is incredible.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're obviously going to sell heaps of that.
I'm sure you will.
Long weekend, so how many people do you estimate? I mean, last year was all sold out. So what was the sellout for you guys? How many people?
Last year was all sold out. We were at capacity at over 20,000 people.
Okay.
And what may have been a sellout, say, back in 2010 is different to a sellout now, because way back in the early years, they were all coming in their utes and swags. And now people come in their big caravans and their Winnebagos, so it takes up more room.
Of course.
So we had over 20,000 people.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a huge amount.
This year we're planning, you know, we really start to get stuck into our planning now with New South Wales Health, and, you know, who knows, crystal ball stuff about COVID, what restrictions will be in place leading up to it. So we'll do a lot of work with that. With you know, COVID plans and camping and events, multiple day events, but you know, we're planning. We you know, we're very positive about the muster going ahead.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, there's no sign that it's not going to go ahead.
There's no sign.
It's just you're not going to be able to sell any more tickets at this
stage.
There's
no sign of that. We're still selling tickets.
All looking very positive.
It's all looking very positive.
Fantastic.
That's exactly right. And look, not just our event, but there'll be things that change with COVID. Some aren't that bad.
Okay.
You know, that we've now gone cashless.
Yes.
So all RFID, which is radio frequency identification, on their wristband. So, you know, it's not all negative.
Yep.
It has been bad. You know, I'm not saying it's not. It's been terrible for our industry.
Yes.
In multiple levels, you know, the artists, the contractors that we have, the trade site people, it's been horrendous for us, you know, for us not to go ahead, you know, the cost, the loss for us, plus you add the loss of what we didn't make, we're looking at $1 million. So, you know, it's, and we're no different to anyone
to
else
any
in the
industry. No.
But there are some small things that, as when you look at hygiene now and hand sanitising and cleanliness and making our event cashless. No, they're not bad things.
No, not at all. Not at all. I think it's
just
the way that...
It's just a small part that's
it's a
been
small
good.
Part,
not
yeah.
a, you know, I don't want to be coming across that COVID's been good, because COVID...
Oh, no, has
been,
no, no. COVID's
been horrific.
It's not been good. It's been very difficult, but Australia's handled it very well.
Yes.
And the people have sort of gotten used to the idea of checking in with their phones, yes, and yeah, making yeah, sure they're sanitising. So it's been a good, it's been good the norm,
that.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're very fortunate to be living in Australia,
mm-hmm.
and we're very fortunate to be living in Dinawickum.
Okay. Yeah. Now, just to mention some of the acts, they're the same acts that you had from last year. Yeah. So you've got the Angels.
Yes, we've got the Angels.
They'd be for all the younger ones, I guess, the young Revheads. You've got Johnny Williamson.
John Williamson is an
incredible entertainer, isn't he?
Yeah, we've got Such a nice guy. So, yeah, all our acts of
Troy Cassidaly.
Yeah, have all transferred over.
Yep.
As well as the around the ground activities that we have as well. So we had, you know, still the circle work and our show and shine. We've got an animal farm for the kids. We've got mini golf. We've got science, kids science activities.
Well, Vicky, that's really fantastic. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me. And I'm going to play that song we spoke about a little earlier before we did the interview, Johnny Williamson's Hey True Blue. Now stick around, listeners, for more Roaming Oz straight after that.
Hey True Blue, don't say you've gone. Say you've knocked off for a smoker and you'll be back later on. Hey, True Blue. Hey, True Blue. Give it to me straight, face to face. Are you really disappearing? Just another dying race. Hey, True Blue. True Blue. Is it me and you? Is it Mom and Dad? Is it a cockatoo? Is it Stan and Boy, you mate, when he's in a fight? Or just Vegemite? True Blue, I'm asking you. Hey, True Blue, can you bear the load? Will you tie it up with wire just to keep the show on the road? Hey, True Blue. Hey, True Blue. Now be fair, Dinkum. Is your heart still there? If they sell us out like sponge cake, do you really care? Hey, True Blue. True Blue. Is it me and you? Is it Mom and Dad? Is it a cockatoo? Is it standing by your mate when she's in a fight? Or just Vegemite? True Blue, I'm asking you. Is it me and you? Is it Mom and Dad? Is it a cockatoo? Is it standing by your mate when he's in a fight? Or just Vegemite? True.
a great song selection by Vicky Lowry from the Denny Ute Muster. Hey True Blue by Johnny Williamson. Now, Lynn, what are you going to tell us all about?
Well, we're going to have a little look at the Long Paddock touring route. Now, this trip follows the historic Cobb Stock route from fascinating Echuca Moama on the Murray River to iconic country towns. The drive features public artworks and information boards along the way, bringing the history of this unique drive to life. Today, the modern Cobb Highway follows part of the great network of stock routes that became known as the Long Paddock, a network of tracks and trails linking stock breeding areas of inland New South Wales and Queensland with emerging markets in Victoria. It also provided an escape route from drought when the seasons failed. The Long Paddock is still a working stock route which provides a link to times and landscapes long since altered. The Long Paddock also passes through some of the most character-filled villages in Australia. These little townships of between 30 and 70 people provide visitors with a glimpse of life in country communities. Make sure you stop and have a cuppa or a beer in Pretty Pine, Wanganella and Burraban, where you will be welcomed with a smile and can get a real feel for life in the bush. The Long Paddock is an easy drive and accessible by caravan car or four-wheel drive.
So, Lynn, there is a section of dirt road, though, on this trip, isn't there?
Yes, when we went on it, it's about 30, 40 kilometres of red bull dust.
Between Ivanhoe and Wilcannia, is
yes,
that correct?
Yep, that
okay.
Was it.
And there is a rest area there, folks, okay? And it is a rest area. It's not a designated place where you can actually spend the night. And it's called the Big Tree Rest Area.
Yep.
And, you know, if you did want to spend the night there, you'd probably get away with it because when we were there, we pulled over there for a stop. We saw two trucks and three cars on the entire time we were there.
Yes.
And also I'd like to let you know, listeners, at the Big Tree Rest Area on that dirt section between Ivanhoe and Wilcannia, there's absolutely no phone signal. If you decided to spend the night there, I don't think you'd see anything, probably not anything other than an emu or a kangaroo. But there's also no television signal or anything out there. It's just a bit of a black hole. But it's a beautiful spot just to pull up, have a bit of a rest, maybe have a cup of tea or a cup of coffee and then venture onto Wilcannia.
Yep, that's correct.
Absolutely fantastic place. And I thought if it was me, I'd probably get a photograph of the big tree there. Even though it's not that big.
Now, some other interesting information around Deniliquin. It's the service centre for this surrounding agricultural region. The region includes both dry land and irrigated areas. Now, the dry land areas support grazing, in particular beef, cattle and wool growing. Deniliquin is home to many famous merino studs and the saltbush plains produce quality medium-class wool. The irrigated areas produce a range of high-yielding crops. Rice was a major crop until the recent drought. The largest rice mill in the southern hemisphere is in Deniliquin, producing large packs and bulk rice for the export markets. Deniliquin is also the headquarters of Murray Irrigation Limited, an irrigator-owned private company and one of the largest privately owned irrigation supply companies in the world. Murray Irrigation manages the operations of four different irrigation areas in the Murray Valley. These produce 50% of Australia's rice crop, 20% of New South Wales milk production, 75% of New South Wales processing tomatoes, and 40% of New South Wales potatoes. There are also sawmills in the area which process timber harvested from the River Red Gum Forest, lining the Edward and the Murray floodplains.
My name is Phil C, and yes, I am still in Deniliquin, and I am speaking with Neville Pirtle. Now, he is the Managing Director of the Pirtle Group and also the owner of the Depot Historic Vehicle and Memorabilia Collection. How are you today, Neville?
Yeah, I'm fantastic, yes.
Hey, thanks for taking the time to talk to us. Now, tell us a little bit about this museum. Like, when I first walked in, you walk in, it looks like a small shop.
Yep.
I'm not going to give away too much, but then you go through this magical door and it's got the most impressive collection of motor vehicles in absolute pristine condition, covering decades. How long is it taking you to put this together?
Yeah, well, it's a lifetime, I suppose, and family lifetime, you know, family business. Our family business is actually celebrating 70 years this year.
Okay.
So we've got a lot of history right. in that. We're in the bus and transport industry.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, the stuff that we've collected or hung on to over those years. And then when I wanted to do something better, it all started with old Rosie, the bus down there.
I heard about that. And that was an old school bus or something, is that correct?
Yeah, she was the oldest registered. When she came in here, she was the oldest registered school bus in Australia.
Right.
And I wanted somewhere better to put her.
Okay.
Because we had people used to come, and they knew about her, and they'd come to visit, and it was stuck in a shed and covered in dust and whatever else, and we needed to do something better.
Right.
And then we were fortunate enough to, there was some grant funding going around.
Yes.
And with that, we thought, well, we'll put the money together and we'll do something better. And then it just grew, the idea grew and grew from there.
Okay.
And so we've gone from, you know, as you said, we've got a probably less than a 300 square metre retail front that opens into a 3,000 square metre museum.
It's amazing. It's like the TARDIS. It's like a little telephone box that you walk into it. And then you go through that next door, and it's huge.
Yeah.
Now, how many cars would you have? How many cars, how many buses, roughly, do you know?
On display, we've got, there's half a dozen buses, and there's, I think there's 60 or 70 cars.
Right.
And then the trucks as well.
Right.
And for some reason, I just like old fire trucks too, so they're in there. And there's other stuff that we've still got stored in other areas.
In other areas.
Yeah, to be restored and or just to rotate
To rotate the display.
Display, yeah.
Yeah, because...
And we do have other people's stuff here too. Then that's we want to encourage that over time.
So the locals that have got exceptional vehicles.
There's some exceptional cars down there that are on loan.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so what would be in your, I guess, your idea or your the most pressured one down there of yours? What would it be?
Look, after Rosie, probably my personal... favourite, there's the LE Monaro,
right.
Which is probably the first later model historic car that I bought.
Uh-huh.
And then the other one that I bought I love is the FC dual cab ute.
Okay.
Yeah. And it has a throw across to the Elvis theme because it's got Elvis murals on it and James Dean and whatever, which then brings my wife's love of Elvis and Elvis rock and roll, which inspired a lot of the memorabilia that's here.
Well, this room we're sitting in now, which is called the Cadillac room, you've got a bar here, and it actually looks like the dashboard of a car with a radio.
It was done by the local sign writer. He's done all this work in here and recreated that dash, and it's out of the Cadillac that's on display downstairs.
It's amazing. Yeah. It's amazing. So you personally have been collecting. Look, how long has the museum been open?
We've only been open a year.
A year?
Yeah.
where were the vehicles before that?
Everywhere. Everywhere. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so, and then as we knew this was coming along, we collected more.
As
we've gone along, yeah. And then there was stuff, some of the buses are on loan and this sort of stuff. So,
okay.
Yeah.
But the ones you bought, because everything on the display is absolutely gleaming, as you would expect it to be. But you said you haven't done that much restoration. That's just how you've acquired them.
Yeah, we've been lucky enough to find the vehicles that people have put their love into, I suppose, and it was time to move on.
Right.
And, we've been able to pick them up as we've gone along.
Fantastic. Yeah. So do you see yourself getting bigger and bigger, or are you just going to try and keep everything in this area but rotate the display occasionally?
We want to rotate the display, but at the same time, we do have a stage two plan to expand into our old workshop.
Okay.
Along the back, which will again give us more room, particularly for create more space for the commercial vehicles, the trucks and the buses.
The trucks and the buses,
yeah.
And your fire trucks. Okay. So, what would you suggest for a person to come in? I mean, obviously, if you're a car enthusiast, you could spend a day here.
Yeah.
Would you say what would be the minimum time you'd recommend?
You need a
visitor.
You're not getting, value for your money, or your best use of your time unless you're going to commit 2 or 3 hours.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's not that expensive to come in either.
No, it's
$15 or something to come in. So, $15 well spent if you're interested in cars to wander around here.
Yeah, and plus the memorabilia. I it's great to hear people. They'll have a husband and wife come in and the wife begrudgingly comes in with the husband, and then the husband's trying to drag the wife out because she's so enthralled with all the memorabilia.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about some of the memorabilia then, because I was just blown away by the cars initially.
So I suppose we're out of the fuel industry as well as the bus industry, so there's a throwback to all the Bowsers and all the fuel equipment.
Right.
And then upstairs we've try to recreate scenes from the past. Okay. Yeah, we've got the lounge room set up with the TV, and it has the reel on there that, you know, shows you the development of the Holden and
yes.
this sort of stuff, and then the kitchen as it was back in the 40s or 50s. And,
right.
And then even the backyard over here that's been set up to with the clothesline, you know, just... And it's amazing how we... And the chairs there where the people can sit and knit.
Okay.
And we've had people teaching... We walked in one day and the lady there teaching another young girl how to knit. That's just that passing on those memories.
Yes.
Yeah.
Incredible. Yeah. And this Cadillac room, what inspired it? What was the idea of it?
Well, the Cadillac room was originally a space that I wanted to create to be able to bring school kids here to yep. teach them about transport.
Fantastic.
To teach them about the history and, you know, where the cars and buses come from.
Right.
And then out of that, it grew, you know, let's make it multifunctional so that we can, you know, have more purpose than one, just, you know, and it grew into a fully functioning function centre.
And I mean, do you get functions like public people wanting to have a party in here or something?
Yeah, parties and a lot of meetings. Yeah. We've had a meeting here this morning. From the council had a meeting, done a breakfast meeting.
Yes.
So we, you know, we cater with the diner next door, which is the cruising diner. That's a retro style diner. It does the catering.
Yeah.
For in here. So I think Casey probably has up to 4 or 5 functions a week in here.
Wow.
Yeah. Just all different types, whether it's meetings and parties or parties seminars or whatever. Yeah.
Well, it's got a brilliant backdrop, I've got to tell you. And you got the DeLorean down there as well from Back to the Future. Yeah. That caught Lynn's eye straight away because she's a Michael J. Fox fan.
Yeah. my family in the past, we've owned a video store. And my wife and son are fairly heavy into the videos and movies.
Yep.
So a lot of the stuff we've got actually has a throwback to that connection to the movies. We've
particular
got,
movie, yeah.
Yeah, we've got a FC taxi down there that's out of The Delinquents.
Okay, yes. Remember that movie,
EJ sedan that's out of Love Child.
Right.
Yeah, so there's James Dean's, a replica of James Dean's Porsche Spider. So it's just a bit of that stuff that sort of has that crossover to the movie world, which, again, creates that interest from the whole family.
Absolutely brilliant. Yeah. Look, it's an amazing place. Listeners, you've got to come to see it. If you are coming through Deniliquin, don't think it's a small town with nothing. I've got to say, this depot, historic vehicle memorabilia collection, put together by Neville Pirtle, absolutely a must-see here in Deniliquin.
Yeah, I think it is, yeah.
Absolutely brilliant. Thank you so much for your time, Neville. Now, I'm going to play you a song, as I do after every chat I have. Who's your favourite Australian artist?
Probably Slim Dusty.
Slim Dusty.
Yeah.
He's a legend this place. This is going to be a legend for many more generations to come, I can guarantee it. Favourite song by Slim?
Lights on the Hill.
Lights on the Hill. Great song too. All right, listeners, stick around for more Roman Oz straight after Lights on the Hill.
Oh, 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 yeah. It's a long straight road and the engine is deep. I can't help thinking of a good night's sleep. And the long, long roads of my life are a-calling me. These rough old hands are glued to the wheel. My eyes full of sand from the way they feel. And the lights coming over the hill are a-blinding me. It's a long, tough pull from away down south. A man's gotta find a little bread for his mouth and a home for a girl as sweet as my honey can be. So it's down through the gears, she's a starting to pull. The gauge on the tank is a showing near full. And the lights coming over the hill are a-blinding me. This rain on the road, I can feel the loads that are shifting in a dance. Too late, I see the post, and I haven't got a ghost of a chance. Oh, no. The windscreen wipers are a-beating in time. The song they sing is a part of my mind, and I can't believe it's really happening to me. Oh, but I'm over the edge and down the mountainside. I know they'll tell about the night I died in the rain when the lights on the hill were. Give a big hand.
shifting in a net. Too late I see the post and I haven't got a ghost of a chance for her. The windscreen wipers are a-beating in time. The song they sing is a part of my mind and I can't believe it's really happening to me. Oh, but I'm over the edge and down the mountainside. I know they'll tell about the night I died in the rain when the lights on the hill were blinding me. Hey! In the rain when the lights on the hill were blinding me. Oh, hey.
Well, what a great show, Lynn. All about Deniliquin.
I know. What a lovely place it is.
It's such a great place. I absolutely loved all the people we met there and had such a wonderful time. Now, do you remember last week we mentioned that I was going to try and catch up with a young couple doing the big lap, David and Martina?
Yes, that's right.
Well, I have actually caught up with them. And I had a very nice chat with them, and they're going to be on air with us next week.
Oh, how exciting.
Yes. Now, first of all, David's going to tell us all about his 78 Series Land Cruiser troop carrier, which he has converted into this fabulous vehicle with a lot of bells and whistles.
Yes.
And they're currently in Hervey Bay.
Wonderful.
And we'll be catching up with them there in Hervey Bay. So make sure you stick with us, listeners, and we're going to be following their travels, the big lap they're doing with no end date of David and Martina.
Oh, exciting.
And that's going to be on next week's program. With overseas travel in lockdown, there's no better time to see what's offer in your own backyard. And if you want to do it in style, with all the bells and whistles, then 7th Street Caravans, located at 2212 Pacific Highway, Heatherbrae, is where the journey begins. Check out their range, Paramount, Silver Valley, Road Trip and Option RV. With dozens of layouts, there's something for everyone's needs. 7th Street also has a large range of pre-loved vans. They won't be beaten on price, so grab yourself a knockout deal today. Phone Aidan and the team on 4987 5288 or check out the website 7thstreetcaravans.com.au.
We hope you enjoyed the show, listeners.
If you missed any, check out our Facebook page, Spotify or RomanOz.com.au.
Tune in next week for more
Roman Oz.